Welcome to learn what are the differences between ITIL 4 and ITIL 3, brought to you by Nestori Syynimaa. Yes, so today we will start with ITIL 4, so what it is, what it consists of, and at the end we're going to see what are the typical usage scenarios for ITIL 3 and ITIL 4. Okay, so let's start. What is ITIL 4? So it has these four elements on the right side. So it has let's start with the text here. So same way as ITIL 3, ITIL 4 is also best practices for IT service management, and it's a baseline for planning your things and implementing things and then measuring things. So that's what it is. But in ITIL 3, the whole idea was about service lifecycle. So you start with planning, and then you create things, then you put them in production, and then you run the production, and then it starts kind of again. So that was the basis of ITIL 3. So you develop things, you put them in production, and so there was kind of this two different, let's say, organization parts. So there was development and then there was operation. And now in ITIL 4, the whole thing is more like a system. It seems as a system. So if we start from the top, we have four dimensions. Then, and inside that fourth dimension, there is a service value chain. Sorry, service value system. And inside service value system, there is service value chain. And now let's try to get a brief look at each of these elements, so that we would have a kind of an overview of what they are and why they are there. Well, so let's start with the four dimensions. So basically, what these four dimensions means that whenever you are producing something, products or services, there are all these four dimensions you need to cover somehow when you are creating services or products. So first, there's organization and people, which means that you have to have organizational capabilities. You have to have right people, right skill set, so that you can produce those, let's say, services. Then two, you need information technology. So all the technology has to be there in place so that you can actually deliver that service. Whatever that is, it could be like a data center, servers, switches, or whatever technology you need there. But also like ServiceNow, which is a quite commonly used software for service management, you need that kind of things. Okay, then you need partners and suppliers, because you can't do everything by yourself. So you also need to cover that. And then to run things, you need some kind of processes. You have value streams that are producing the value from inputs, from different inputs. And at the end of the value stream, you will have something valuable for customers. And also all of these four dimensions are affected by multiple factors. So if you know the PESTEL analysis, this is pretty much what it is. So you might have political factors which are affecting how, for instance, you could, which kind of people you can hire, under what terms, and so on. Yes, so this is a four-dimension model. And inside the four-dimension model, there is a service value system. It looks like this. Okay, and now the values, the service value system is transforming all the inputs to value. So everything what happens between the opportunity and demand and value, that is the service value system. So what do we have here? We have a guiding principles, the outer layer there, and guiding principles, yes, and continual improvement. If you remember that from the service lifecycle. That is also there, and guiding principles are pretty much same as there were in ITIL 3. But here we have also governance, and then we have practices. And practices are actually what used to be processes and functions, and now they are called practices. And inside that you have service value chain. Okay, so all these things around here are helping you or are enabling you for that service value chain to work actually. So what is then service value chain? Let's see. So now we have a kind of different elements here. So this is the closest thing to, I would say, the service life cycle, which was in ITIL 3 and previous versions too. So first we have a demand, there's some kind of demand, then we have engage, then we obtain things, we build things, we design things, then we put them in production, and then we are able to produce our services, and those services are creating value. But also here we have that plan thing, which means that you need to plan all each of these elements all the time. So that's a continuous, let's say, process. And we also need to improve things all the time. So that's also kind of ongoing process, if you will. So this is kind of a new way of thinking. So this is more like a system, which is consisting, which is built from different, let's say, components. And this is not necessarily always the same, let's say, life cycle that it used to be. So you can pick different elements depending on your service or products, what you are producing. Okay. And as I already told you earlier, let's take this, this away, that in ITIL 4, there are no longer processes, there are practices. In ITIL 3, I think there was like 26 processes or something like that. And in ITIL 4, we have 34 practices. And on the left, we have general management practices, like, for instance, continual improvement or knowledge management. And all of these kind of things, that these are pretty much the same that were in version 3, but they are categorized kind of differently. So we have general management practices, we have service management practices, then we have technical management practices. And each of these practice, they actually have similar things that used to be in processes in ITIL 3. So that really hasn't changed a lot. I mean, like IT asset management is pretty much the same than IT asset management used to be in ITIL 3. Yes. So this is kind of let's say, introduction that what is ITIL 4 in very briefly. And from my point of view, it hasn't changed that much, I would say. So it's pretty much same things are there than used to be. But let's go to the next slide, so that will kind of better explain that. So usage scenarios. So what is ITIL 3 for? It's for classic IT organizations, where they are typically silos, like development is separated from the operations. So it's kind of like a classical or traditional way. But also, like where I work for is a municipality or city actually. And when we are running our services, we really want to focus on the production size. What we are interested at is that our services are running. So please don't touch that. Just keep, if it's not broken, don't touch that. So that's pretty much the mentality, that we want our things to be running smoothly. And because we don't have any in-house development, we don't do that kind of things quite often. Of course, if there's some law change or something like that, then we need to do something. But pretty much we buy things or build things and we put them in production and just want to keep them running. And because it's a silo thing, you need processes, you need formal processes so that you can run your services. So that's kind of a must. You can't do that without processes. And processes need management, they need owners, they need KPIs or key performance indicators and that sort of things, so that you can run them and you can develop them and develop them. And also ITIL 3, the mental model is that you need to implement the whole ITIL. Of course, the implementation would be very different for small organizations and larger organizations, but still you would need to implement the full ITIL period. So that's it. ITIL 4 is more like for modern organizations. So there are agile teams, which means that the people who are creating services or products, they are very close to customers or even inside the customer organization, where all the feedback is quite direct with the agile teams. So it's not so formal, it's more free form. And all the demands are coming directly from the users, actually, in the best case. So there's no like, okay, this is okay, we start with these plans and we gather the requirements and so on, but this is an ongoing process. So you create things, you get feedback immediately from the users or customers. And then we have DevOps here, which means that development and operations are kind of combined. This is pretty much because, well, if we are using things like cloud services, everything is automated, so you don't have to go and actually install a server there. You just click a button and say that, okay, I want these kind of servers with this kind of configuration and proceed, and that's it. So things are very different than they used to be. And the mental model here is also that you only pick what you need. So you don't have to implement everything. You don't have to, let's say, implement change management problems, for instance, if you are using agile methodologies or DevOps. And your service is kind of that you can try and fail fast. So that's okay to do that. Then you don't need a very strong or, let's say, formal bureaucratic change management process, because change is continual. You do all the changes are done all the time. So that's more like a, not like in three version three, that don't touch it if it's not broken. Here we are implementing all the time new features and improvements. Yes, so that was it. Thank you for watching.